Hare Krishna. This morning we read from Srimad Bhagavatam. Haribol. Canto 3, chapter 16, entitled Jaya and Vijaya, Cursed by the Sages. Text number 27. Brahmo vacha atate monayo duristva nayananda bhajanam vaikuntam taradhisthanam vaikuntam cha svayam prabham. Brahma vacha. Lord Brahma said, Atha, now, te, those, munaya, sages, jistva, after seeing, nayana, of the eyes, ananda, pleasure, bhajanam, producing, vaikuntam, the Vaikuntha planet, tat of him at his sthanam, the abode, Vaikuntham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cha, and svayam prabham, self-illuminating. Translation, Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. Please repeat. Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. Can someone turn, give more volume here? Can someone turn this volume up? If it's possible. Purport by Swami C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita and confirmed in this verse, is self-illuminated. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that in the spiritual world there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity. This indicates that all the planets there are self-illuminated, self-sufficient and independent. Everything there is complete. Lord Krishna says that once one goes to that Vaikuntha planet, he never returns. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha never return to the material world. But the incident of Jaya and Vijaya was a different case. They came to the material world for some time and then they returned to Vaikuntha. End of purport. Om Agyanantananda Shah Gyananchala Sakya Chakshul Mijamna Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiditya Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nevishesha Sundavari Paschatya Satharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Translation again, Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. Here we ending the story of how the four Kumaras visited Vaikuntha, and we've had a rare glimpse into the spiritual world. Lord Brahma is explaining to the demigods who have approached him that darkness is spreading everywhere. What is the cause? Lord Brahma has told that it is the the embryo of Diti containing the powerful semen of Kasapya that is causing this inebrities in the material universe. That Jayavijay were cursed by the four Kumaras to come to the material world for some time. This, but as we will hear, as we've heard, and we will hear in the last few verses, that this is actually the desire of the Lord Himself, personally His desire. But anyway, the storyline is that because of the conception was took place at the wrong time, then there was an inauspicious result. And so Diti knew that this person would harass the, would cause trouble, so she kept him in her womb for 100 years. Just see the potency of the people in Satya Yuga. She withheld the child in her womb for 100 years. But still, because he was there, so it was so actually a spiritual personality, Jayavijay, eternal associates of the Lord. And there's a mission to perform, so that he was putting out the signals that, you know, there's the Lord's desire, nothing can check the Lord's desire. So Lord Brahma is explaining, there's nothing I can do about this. You're simply going to have to wait, because Lord Brahma knows past, present and future, more or less. He said, this is the Lord's desire, you'll have to wait. But he's starting off that once the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha, then he's given a whole description of the spiritual world, so we can get a glimpse inside the spiritual world. Here it says it's illuminated, the self-illuminated, here is mentioned, Prabhupada mentions also that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that place is no need of sun, moon or electricity. That is the spiritual world, illuminated light. Of course the four Kumaras, they never actually got in because they weren't pure devotees of the Lord. I mean, they were devotees, but they was in and they weren't in. They got the Vaikuntha, but they couldn't get in through the gate. The Lord actually came to the gate personally, came to the gate. They got to the last gate and they were checked by the doorkeepers, Jayavijay. So they never actually got in, because that place is reserved for pure devotees of the Lord, like the spiritual world. And the Kumaras were more or less Brahmavadis, worshippers of the impersonal, although they had did have attraction for the Lord. Why shouldn't they have attraction for the Lord? But when they actually saw him, then it really, I mean, they knew the Lord, who the Lord was, about the Lord, but still they was attracted to that impersonal feature of the Lord, because the Lord appears in both those features, personal and impersonal. They're both the Lord. But anyway, generally the impersonalists find life troublesome, so they want to give up all activity. They find this duality, what we find in the material world, troublesome, so they think this spirituality must be complete opposite of that, no duality. So they prefer to go into place without any duality. So that is an option that one can achieve that situation for some time. Of course, it's not an eternal situation, because the jiva has a purpose, and it's not just to exist. It has a purpose, and that purpose is the Lord's pleasure. And so, unless the jiva is actually engaging in that activity, then his activity has no real meaning, whether in the material world or transcendental to the material world, in the tatastha position, not in the spiritual world, not in the material world, in between. This is the tatastha position. Free from the modes of nature and also free from devotional service to the Lord. So that's, both of them are, you know, a negative, in other words. So it's not, one, according to the Vaishnava Siddhanta, one cannot actually, that mukti, that liberation is not actually eternal. That sooner or later, when the desire, because the jiva is a person, sooner or later when a desire for activity comes, because person means relationship, as soon as that is, then again you will have to appear, you have to manifest the form. You have to appear, go to a place where the forms are manifest, either in the spiritual world or the material world. You go to a spiritual planet or a material planet. But here, I think in that purport in the Bhagavad Gita, where it's mentioned about there's no need of sun, moon, Prabhupada said this is an indication of the spiritual world. One should be very, I can't remember the word, but something like very, you should be fired up to go back to Godhead. When you hear these descriptions about what it's like in the spiritual world, one should be very eager to actually go back to Godhead. Because this place is actually very difficult. When you hear the situation there and you compare it with the situation here, that is very, very desirable situation. It's actually what we would like to do in this world, but we're trying to make this world like that. We're making a feeble attempt to try to make the material world a nice situation, but it cannot compare with what's already going on in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada said that that place, it's self-illuminated. That means also the living entities of the same quality, they're also self-illuminated. There's the self-sufficient and independent. All those things are there which we can't claim to be here. Self-sufficient and self-independent. We're not self-sufficient and we're not independent. But there, all those Vaikuntha planets are independent, and all the people on them, they're also independent. So there's no need of there's no need of sun or a moon. But still, there's a sun and a moon there in the spiritual world. Here, for the sake of pastimes, for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, then the sun goes down and the moon comes up, so he can have his nocturnal pastimes, just like we know in Vrindavan is very necessary, like it was in the material world. It's necessary, those things are there, but they don't actually need them, because they want the light. They can function without that light. Here in this material world, we can't function without the sun. The universe won't function without the sun. So all the planets are more or less interdependent in the material world. That without the sun, we can't live. Because the sun produces heat and it also produces water from the clouds. And the moon nourishes the vegetables, the vegetation. So that we can't eat. So we're dependent on the moon. We're dependent on the sun. And we're dependent on so many things. But so we're not independent of them, and we are conditioned to whatever particular place, whatever particular situation that we're born in, according to karma. You have to you can adjust to that. You have to stay in that condition. we're born as human beings on this planet Earth. This is our natural position in the material world. Material world is an unnatural situation for the jiva. But while you're here, this is a natural situation. We cannot live in the water comfortably. The fish live comfortably in the water. They can't live comfortably on the land. And some things live in the earth comfortably. We can't do that. So Prabhupada said also there's living entities in the sun. But they have a body which is predominantly made of fire. Our body is predominantly made of earth. Earth and water. But there... They're not like that. They're self-sufficient. Because our body is made of earth, and here although it's a reflection of the spiritual world, that means if you go to the spiritual world, like Krishna took the bridge buses to the spiritual world, they said, "Oh, it's just like our place. Same. This is just like home," because that is Vrindavan is actually a replica. It means there were trees, rivers, and birds, and cows, and everything is. So this is a reflection of the actual spiritual world. But there it's all self-sufficient and independent. Here it's everything is temporary. It manifests and then the six changes, right? The appearance, growth, sustenance, byproducts, dwindling and vanishing, if that's six. But there it's not like that. There's no appearance and disappearance in the spiritual world, so therefore there's no decay. And here is a constant struggle to maintain. That struggle is not there. Vaikuntha, there's no without struggle, without any illusion, without any struggle. That we don't need, we because the body is made of earth, water and fire, then we need to sustain the body by earth. The earth produces food. The earth and water, the food is coming from a mixture of those things. So then we take that. We have to nourish this earth body with other earth products. And therefore we can maintain. Otherwise, there's problem. So this is a pressure that's on us. You have to maintain it. You have to maintain the water. You have to maintain the earth to keep the body sustainable. Otherwise, you're suffering. So this is the position in the material world. It's called the hard struggle for existence. Right? People say, why are you so negative? You're saying that the material world is a place of suffering. But if you carefully be a little bit introspective, you can understand it is a place of suffering. But because you're born in a suffering condition, suffering is a normal state of affairs. So therefore, we don't know any better. But once you've heard better, even you hear better, you don't believe it. You still carry on trying to enjoy it. But if those problems weren't there, then how would we live on this place if we didn't? We should think about this. What it's like in the spiritual world. We're free from all of those things. These old age, disease, death, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They're necessities here. But in the spiritual world, they're not. You're independent. So what would you do if you didn't have to eat, sleep, mate, or defend? Because that's most of our day we're spending doing those things. The real business is enjoying. But because Maya's got us on the run, eat, sleep, mate, defend, and we're so busy trying to keep ahead of that so we're comfortable, just to keep on top, that we have a very little time to actually get about the real business of life, which is to enjoy. Right? But if you didn't have that, then what would you do? If you didn't have those kleshas there, what would you do? How would you live your life? You didn't have to eat. So why would you eat? You'd eat because it's for a nice taste, right? For some sense gratification. So that's you'd only do things for pleasure. If you didn't have to do them, you wouldn't struggle to do them. But you'd only do them for pleasure. But if you didn't have this pressure, this is a state of liberation, right? If those pressures weren't there, that's an actual state of liberation. So you'd be self-satisfied anyway. You'd be peaceful. So what is the need to do anything? So this is the conclusion of this impersonalistic philosophy. You wouldn't have to do anything. Why do anything? Why have a body? Why have anything? Just exist. Everything is troublesome. But pleasure means variety. Pleasure means interaction. Pleasure means relationship. So if there's none of that, then there's no real pleasure. It's just existence. In the spiritual world, why would they bother to eat? Why would they eat, sleep, mate, and defend? Fear. Of course, that kind of fearing is not there, but there is a fear there, a fear for Krishna's pleasure, a fear for disturbing Krishna. So, if they don't do that, what will they do? But the thing is that's just a lifestyle they follow. And that's why we follow a similar lifestyle here. Because it's a reflection. They don't have to do those things because everything there is Satchitananda. But just like Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, for a liberated soul, there's no duty to perform. There's no need to perform any duty because he's achieved the goal of performing duty or rituals, which is liberation, to become free from everything. It's the goal of religious, right? Religious duties is to become free from the pleasures, come to the mode of goodness, become transcendental. So then you have no duty to perform because you've achieved the purpose of all those rules and regulations. He said, but there's also no need not to perform those duties. So then the wise man, he follows duties for the sake of the common people, so they will also follow. So he's doing it, but he doesn't have to do it. So in the spiritual world, it's like that. They don't have to do it. But what will you do? You've got to do something. So therefore, it says the Lakshmis, or the goddesses of fortune, yes, they're seen sweeping the palaces. There's no dust. there'd be no dust there. But still they sweep the palaces just to make it, you know, Krishna's coming, it's got to be at his best. Or what else are they going to do? Okay. So, but all the activities they do are concerning Krishna. Like when Srila Prabhupada first got this piece of land in Mayapur, he came here, I think it was, he told Shamshun, okay, he said, now you can, yeah, now you can stay here. He said, Prabhupada, what are we going to do here? So Prabhupada said, why? You always want to do something. Why? You come to the holy dham, nothing to do, you sit down and chant Hare Krishna. But then, what are we going to do here? No, this is mode of passion. Passion, you've got to do something. Right? We feel like that. We've got to do something important. So even when you're given, you're taken to the holy dham, away from the hellish Rajaguna situation, here, okay, now it's a perfection, sit here. And, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, you won't be able to sit here. Our senses are too wild just to sit here and do nothing. But the main sense gratification, the main pleasure is for the senses is shamanam, kirtanam, smaranam. When you've established a relationship with Krishna, there's no higher pleasure. There's no higher pleasure for the ears. There's no higher pleasure for the tongue. Srila Rupa Goswami is thinking, since I've tasted this blissful names of Krishna, I wish I had thousands of tongues. I wish I had thousands of ears just by hearing this. This is, Prabhupada said, this is called taste. He said, this is actually advancement. When you come to that stage, when will I have thousands of tongues and thousands of ears? That name is so nice, I just can't get enough of it. It's so nice. So this is real sense gratification. You don't need anything else. But who can do that? Who can sit and enjoy hearing, remembering, discussing about Krishna? So that will only happen when we've actually established our relationship with Krishna, and then they won't be words. It'll be actually emotion will be there, feeling will be there when you when you hear his pastimes and all these different emotions, because your connection is so close, then all these emotions will start churning the way that Krishna's Krishna's behaving and his different qualities. So that's everyone in the spiritual world. They're all like this, Paramahansa. They're all eternally liberated souls. So they don't have to do anything. Although there's unlimited sense gratification there. We've heard how much sense gratification there is there. No, you don't have to endeavor for it. It's waiting for you. But because Krishna's there, they're not much interested in their own sense gratification. Unless it's connected with Krishna, they have no interest. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending, there's no interest there, unless it's connected with Krishna. So any kind of sense gratification, it's interesting if it's connected with Krishna, otherwise no meaning. And not, it's second class. When it's connected with Krishna, then it's first class. So you don't need all this, things to give you actual happiness. They're second class, but unless if you haven't tasted Krishna consciousness, established a relationship with Krishna, then these things are important, because there is some sensation when we come into contact with these particular sense objects, and that gives us a so-called pleasure, or at least a change or relief from the suffering. And a different sensation. So we take that as that's the best you can do. So then that'll be attractive for you. So it's worth contemplating. What would I do if I didn't have to do? If I didn't have to eat and sleep and mate and defend, what would I do? How would I spend my day? So Prabhupada says, if you took a pill and you wouldn't die, he said, the first thing you do is stop work. Which is like half your life. More than half of your life you've saved already. Right? So many years at college you're going, five or six years you're given for college education. Why? Just to get a good job. Just preparation to work. So, and then you work for the next 40 years or so. And you get a few hours in the evening spare. And then you can retire. And by the time you're retired, you're like me, which is ready to drop. You're 60, over 65. Your senses are all played out. And all your desires that you had before, and how you're really going to go for it when you're free from all your problems. You can't do it anymore. You got to find a. You got to do something else. This is Maya. Illusion. Illusory energy that in the future, all these post-dated checks that Maya is offering, as well as everyone around us, all our professors and teachers and industrialists and politicians and poets promising a rosy future. But of course, this is, it's not, whatever it is, it's not satisfying. Whatever it is, it's all temporary. and it'll be taken away. Then you take birth again and start another round. Try and do it, be successful next time. If you're not satisfied, if you still think you can do it in this lifetime, if you still think you can adjust and be, and get shelter and happiness in this material life, in the material body, then you'll get a chance to. It's actually impossible. But you'll get a chance. If that's your desire, if you're determined to do it, then you get a chance next birth. And if you follow the rules, the religious, if you follow the scriptures, you'll get a better degree. You get a better job next time. You get a better situation next time. A better body next time. To try again. But in anybody, from the top to bottom, they're all temporary, Krishna says. From top to bottom, from Brahmaloka down to, so it's, that's called Maya. So one should give up this fruitless pursuit to try to adjust your material situation and go back to the spiritual world. It's already there. You just have to qualify to go there. You don't have to work hard to adjust things to make it like that. That situation's already existing. Just like if you want to live on the sun planet, you've got to work to get a body made of a fiery body. So then you have to follow some rules to do that. You have to, in this lifetime. Then you can be promoted to the sun planet or the Swargaloka or Brahmaloka. There, Brahmaloka, the bodies are predominantly mind, I believe. They're very subtle, very fine bodies. No, not much trouble there. But you've got to qualify to get that particular body. So then this life, we should think, what's the best body? Oh, to get one of these bodies, nothing can compare with one of these Vaikuntha bodies. So let's get one of those. But then there's some sacrifice, there's some tapasya needed, that qualification. You've got to go to university, you've got to sacrifice your so many years. Right? And so then we have to perform tapasya. Human life is meant for tapasya, not the animals. So Prabhupada said, you don't get anything without tapasya. Although we hear that tapasya doesn't get you Krishna. Krishna's not pleased by tapasya. But you have to follow something, and that is tapasya. We follow four regular principles. We rise early in the morning, right? We chant Krishna's name. We associate with devotees. We offer the prasadam. We observe Ekadasi. Prabhupada said, these are our austerities. They're very minimum. He said, even you're having trouble with these. He said, but these are minimum. Not that you have to, do these other great austerities like, standing up in freezing water or lighting a fire around you in the summer season. That's just practicing to tolerate to live, just like the seals. They live in the North Pole, whatever those animals are. They live in the icy, freezing water. We can survive there a few minutes, but they live there very comfortably. Prabhupada said, by practice, you can actually do that, but it's a great endeavor. So there's yogis. He said, the yogis in the Himalayas, the Himalayan ice walkers, they're living up there and they practice the pranayams and they're becoming really free from this thing, and they just walk around with their kopins on. It's freezing cold, and they're actually unaffected. So, but what a great endeavor. It's like a completely unnatural life to do that. It's a great tapasya, austerity, and there's no enjoyment there. The whole point of it is to achieve a situation, a higher enjoyment. That's the whole purpose. But that's their education. That's a tapasya of going to university for it. So you can endeavor to get something near that, but you know, the sealed body is already there. He can tolerate the cold without, and he can be happy there without any undergoing any austerities. Or the entities on the sun, they can live there. So that's not we shouldn't waste our lives unnecessarily like that, performing these things which are not possible or prescribed in Kali Yuga. We have our simple process in chanting Hare Krishna, and the principles that we follow in Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada has promised that in one lifetime, if you follow that, you can go back to Godhead. As I said here, then you never come back again to the material world. Jai Vijay says they came here, but they're different. They came for some time because this is the Lord's desire. So we're here for some time. Somehow or other we're here. And we've been here for some time. It could be a long time. But it could be a very short time. Prabhupada said, can you, one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead if you strictly follow by the mercy of Guru Granga. Because this whole process is placing oneself under the shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And by following this process, because devotional service is absolute, by associating with that process, we get becoming changed. It's like iron in the fire takes on the quality of fire. By chanting these mantras, they're so potent that they actually change our existence. It's not that we have any special ability, but simply by keeping ourselves in contact with the pure devotees, the holy name, Krishna's prasadam, our eyes in seeing the deity, and limbs engaged in service of the Lord and the devotees, and our minds engaged in thought. By that, just by that, the potency of that, that's what's actually purifying our existence. So we just have to, our austerity is just staying engaged, just staying connected with Krishna consciousness. It's not a question of intelligence or that's the intelligence. How to stay engaged, how to keep engaged. That's it. That's the only intelligence you need. then it doesn't matter what kind of service or what position you have, or what body you have, or what ashram you have. It doesn't matter. As long as you're there's in any body or in any ashram, you have the same opportunity to surrender to Krishna, to submit yourself to the process of Krishna consciousness, to submit yourself to the potency of Krishna consciousness. Everyone has that opportunity. Then there's no distinction anymore on that platform. So it's a very simple process. It's a very, and everyone has an equal opportunity. So here we see that the Lord desires to fight. So then this pastime is arranged, and from these pastimes, we get so many instructions we receive. We get a tour of the spiritual world, see what it's like up there. We learn about the qualities of the potency of the brahmanas. We hear about the potency of the Vaikundhavasis. We hear about the kindness of the Lord, how merciful he is, and how he deals, how he behaves, how he thinks, what his modus operandi is. All of these things we learn, and by hearing about them, we just get purified automatically. That's the potency of the spiritual element here, because it's all directly engaged in, all directly connected with Krishna. The Bhagavatam is anything in the Bhagavatam. Any way you open it, any way, like a sweet ball, any way you bite, it's all sweet. It's all the same. So it has the same potency. Because it's directly, Bhagavatam is starting where all the others leave off, the other scriptures leave off. In other words, at the point of liberation, other scriptures are bringing you to Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. They can bring you to liberation. Bhagavatam begins at that point. That's why Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied. Even he described everything from top to bottom. He knew everything, he described everything, still he wasn't satisfied. Then he spoke Bhagavatam. Then he was satisfied. So that's the only thing necessary is the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is only saying that that one should engage in service to Krishna in a favorable way. In other words, to re-establish your real identity, your constitutional position. But the process is not actually difficult. These other processes, Dharma, Artha, and Karma, they're difficult, actually, when you look at it. They may look attractive, but they're actually difficult. This is very simple. You simply have to stay in contact. And all those other things are unnecessary. And if you don't get Krishna at the end of it, you've wasted your time. You may have moved up in the universe. You may have purified yourself, but you still come back again. If you don't get Krishna, then it's all you more or less wasted your time. So here, Bhagavatam is, you can't waste your time, because it's nothing but pure devotional service to Krishna, any way you look, in any story. So whatever impression or whatever we get from this particular story, it doesn't matter, because you're going to get purified along with that. So your realization, it'll affect different people on different levels. We're all in the same room, we're all hearing the same thing, but we're having different realizations. We're getting different aspects of realization, each one of us, because we're all different. But then overall it doesn't matter, because we're all in contact with Krishna. And we're all getting purified from whatever position we are in. We're all getting purified. So this is the the wonderful position of Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gopuram Nandi. Hari Hari.